Okay, Perakha Pasuk Chav Aleph Nachla Mivoy Heles Barishayna V'Acharisaloi Sivaroch. Nachla, that comes in a state of confusion in the beginning, does not have a good end. In other words, a person who's not accustomed to wealth and comes into enormous wealth suddenly, an inheritance that comes to a person Barishayna for the very first time in a state of Bahola, instead of confusion, not knowing how to deal with the money, this is not something good. The end will be that he will not be blessed. It will not be a blessing. The wealth will not be a blessing. We find by Yitzchak Avinu, Vayigdal Ho'ish Me'od Me'od. What does it mean, Me'od Me'od? He got greater little by little. It doesn't say Vayigdal Ho'ish Me'od. Suddenly, Yitzchak Avinu, he went and he dug a well and bang, there he was. It was Me'od Me'od. It was gradual. When something happens gradual, that is a bracha, because then a person's mind is open, is able to learn how to deal with the bracha. Let's first see the mitzvahs in Rashi, mitzvahs pasuk chaf aleph, nachla mivayholas, nachla habol adam bereishis, bibahola. So it's very important, Rashi is telling us here that we should take the two words, barishayna and mivayholas, and we should read them backwards. That's the key. So we always say that a million times. The key aside to learning these psukim in Nach is don't read the words in order. You have to learn how to read the words pasuk in different orders, because that opens up the pshat and the pasuk. A nachla that comes to a person barishayna originally in a state of bahala, v'adam barishayna bibahala ubekipazayin upisayim im ki yismchu be'aleha. Even though the owners are in great state of joy, hine acharis loy sevarach, the end is not good, ki sholto ba'ena bichas. So this adds into the pasuk something that it does not say, an entirely new pshat, ayin hara, ayin hara.
So Shlomo Melech warned us from ayin hara.
Well, this is the interpretation of the Mitzudos. He's adding, doesn't say anything about Ayin Hara in the Pasuk. He's adding the sin. I don't know. Kishol, he's giving a parish. Why? Ayin Hara, the Ein Bas Simin Bracha. According to the Mitzudos, it would appear that a person, if not Ayin Hara, if he's from the Shevet Yosef, Lasholta Be'ein Abisha, a person can deal with sudden wealth. Sudden wealth. That's what that's.
What?
Why does he have to say
I know, it's a chiddush. The Mitzudas does this every so often. He says, because it's giving you the impression that if not for the fact that it was Ayin Hara, it would be no problem. No problem. Take a pauper or someone that's a homeless person. He doesn't know, there's no problem. It's a very big chiddush, because that's not through the Pashtun. The Pashtun Pashtun is that, forget about Ayin Hara. If you don't know how to deal with wealth, or you're not brought up with wealth, and you come into a new, great wealth, you're just baffled. You don't know what to do. It can ruin your life. So let's see where Rashi says first, Nachla mivaholas barishayna shenival lemaher velitol tchila. Now, in Rashi, it's very, very important what's happening here in between Rashi and the Mizrashi is learning not like the mitzvahs, and is telling us to read the words in order. Okay? In order. Shenival lemaher, person is in a state of ahola tchap, tchap. You're coming to chap. That's not what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says it comes to you. Barishayin, it comes upon you for the very first time in the state of Bahala. You didn't do anything. It just came to you. You won the lottery. That's not what it says in the Rashi. Rashi is saying is you see an opportunity and you go after it. But you go after an opportunity in a state of Bahala. And the example he's giving is according from the Medrash. So this is mentioned in the Medrash at great length. B'nei God, B'nei Ruvain, they demanded that they did not cross the Yarden. They had sown, and they wanted to be noichal on the other side of the Yarden. That was not to their benefit. How do we know that? So Rashi is going to tell us, because when the Aseres Hashvatim were exiled, who was the first to go? Reuben and God. So Shenival, read the words in order. A person is in a state of Bahala. Oh, I have an opportunity. Just because you have an opportunity does not mean you have to chap. Just because you get a job offer, doesn't mean someone gives you a job offer, chap, chap, chap. Don't chap, you have to do the cheshbon. You have to look if it's really a good job, there's opportunity to move up, opportunity if you have a pension, and so on. So there's a lot of cheshbon you have to know before you take a job. They saw good land and they said, we have a lot of cattle, so you know what, this is a great opportunity, let's chaperine right now. By Aver Hayarden, what?
Like low.
load in he saw yes Kiyarden. It was an opportunity, but the opportunity came at the great price of separating himself from Avraham Avinu, which was to his detriment. The dibru beholis for beholos shnemar gidrois tzayin nivne limikneinu, that's built for ourselves enclosures of tzon po here the orim and cities lit tapinu for our children. Also as so ikor tofel, so here the criticism is, even though maybe you want to go take the stand for yourself, but why do you put your animals before your children? Children come first. Asu es so ikor tofel shegdimoy soinam litapam. The ikor is the chinuch for the children that comes before the parnasa. And the achlisuloitzuvarach, the end was no good. What was the end? Shagolu kama shanim koidim shor hashvatim. They went to exile prematurely for the shvatim. Kamosha befurish besed ha'olam. Uvemedrish rabbi tanchuma. Bishna shtayim lo'ochaz. In the second year of Ochaz. Vayohar Hashem esruach melech Ashur. Hashem poured out the spirit of Melech Ashur. And he decided to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And he exiled the aseres hashvatim. The first ones to go was God and Ruvain. They went into Golus a lot later. Which was the ninth year of Hoshea ben Ela, the king of Yisrael. Okay, so here we are. Yeah.
Mishlei was written by Shlomo HaMelech before the union of Ahaz. So why does Rashi explain?
Ruach HaKodesh, because the words of Mishlei are, firstly, he's giving a mashal. You can take this and you can apply this to things that happen in the 21st century. Rashi is just taking the concept and he's finding an example. You could say one of two things. Either you could say, Ruach HaKodesh, that's exactly what he meant. Shlomo HaMelech, Ruach HaKodesh, he wrote this pasuk in reference to a future event that's going to happen. That's a chiddush to say. Maybe that's pshat in the pasuk. Or you can say no. Shlomo HaMelech, he wrote the concept. And along comes Rashi, and Rashi says, if we study Tanakh, we study Chazal, where can we find application for this concept? Even though Shlomo HaMelech have no clue that this was going to happen, we see over here such a concept in hindsight.
You talked about getting the Melucha when he was a kid. And because it got sold, shipped down the road.
Well, okay, it's a different, little bit different, but it's a similar idea. Okay, okay.
Because of what I gleaned from the mountain here, but that's not what he's saying actually. But I thought maybe that's what he's referring to. Is everything's a double-edged sword? Something it said, but you get it before the zman. It's below the zman.
Uh-huh.
So in other words, how did you come? Because he only used it in terms of Yerusha, not like an opportunity. So think maybe you got rich.
You can't have everything in this world.
Parents die, and that's why you got rich. So you're thinking at that time that maybe you have a lot of money now, but don't forget the whole reason you became rich because your parents passed away, and that's what you should have been focusing on. You lost your parents, so it wasn't a bracha that you got money now. You look at it that way, but you make a mistake. That's what that was what came to mind when I read it.
Okay.
That impression.
You can't have everything. Like they say then that life is like a short tablecloth. It may be good on one side, but it's not good on the other side.
I have tablecloth.
And if you try to make it nice on the other side,
your wife is nearsighted.
If you make it good on one side, it's not going to be good. And that's the marshal for life. In life, everyone in this world, no one has a full tablecloth.
You know, but tablecloths were invented for lazy people. Because what's wrong putting it on the table itself? You have to be careful that you don't mess up the table.
No, there's more to that. Mapa, the Gemara says that
not the shop,
it's covered.
My grandfather had the job of letting people into the shtiebel. They used to check people out before they allowed them to be a member. So he went out one night and he came back 10 minutes later. My mother said to him that time, she said, Tata was. Why did you come back so fast? He said, the shortest visit ever. He opened up the door to the apartment, and the dining room table was right in front of him. He didn't have a table cloth. They said, thank you, goodbye. He walked out.
That's what you do.
That's it. It's over. That's it.
Okay, so that's what it says over here. Let's see over here. We did the Rashi. Okay, so this is the Mashal he gives. There's another Medrash. And the Medrash says this in reference to Edom. What do we mean Edom? I'll read you the Medrash. The Medrash says, Nachlam of Helos Pershon Nachslo Tzavarach Zakla al Minemar Ve'ele HaMelochim Asher Molchu Be'eretz Edom Lefnei Meloch Melech Levnei Yisrael. That Esav's descendants was Zoycha to have 11 kings. eight kings before Klal Yisrael had a melech. Edom had already a whole series of kings. Now, is that to their advantage? Which basically means they were harei. Are we to see here? Shahim kiblu es hanachla samalucha b'rishayim lefnei bnei Yisrael. Uchsib, what's going to happen to them? Va'olu moshiim b'har tzion l'shbor es harei sov v'hoysel Hashem hamalucha. Ultimately, when Mashiach comes, their malchus, their inheritance, will be taken away from them. So even though who will remain with malchus forever? Klal Yisrael will inherit, Eretz Yisrael will inherit the world forever. But the umos ha'olam, namely Edom, it's only temporary. So here's like the short tablecloth principle. You may have it now, early. Edom got to get their malchus immediately, before Klal Yisrael, but Klal Yisrael, who starts later, they will overlap, they will conquer Edom, and Edom will end up with nothing at the very end. Another idea, okay, now here's another interesting idea. This is a spooky idea. What this means, I have no idea, but I'll read it to you because it's so spooky. Davarach Melamed, Shakadosh Baruch Hu Bara Techilo Oilamos Umacharivan. Do we think we're here in this world for the first time? Before we occupied, human beings occupied the other worlds. The other worlds before us. And those worlds before us, they possibly were even more advanced. They were more advanced than us. But they were not pleasing. Hashem had no satisfaction in these creatures, so Hashem destroyed them. We, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal tell us, has more pleasure in, we will be around a lot longer. Same idea. They came first. There was a Nachla, Mivaholis. There were creatures, life forms, that inherited this world as a Nachla, Barishayna. But the problem was, it was in a state of bahala, of confusion. They did not give HaKadosh Baruch Hu satisfaction. And therefore, their end was not blessed. They perished. And who came after them? Us. Shocking thing. That's what it says in the Medrash. One more time. Davarach Melamed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bara Techila Oilamois Umacharivan. Okay, then it goes on to something even really very strange. This is really bizarre. I have no idea what this means. Ilanois the Oikron. Hashem created trees. There was some type of vegetation that existed in the beginning of creation that no longer exists. And why was it Vlama Hecharivan Lefi Shahayu Mivoholim Umekanim Zemizeh? The trees were jealous one of another, and they each tried to steal the nutrients from the others. And therefore Hashem had no satisfaction from this form of vegetation which was trying to swallow one up, each one up the other, and Hashem destroyed them all. Lefi shoyim mivoholim umekanim zeh lezeh moshul le'eser ilanos 10 trees hanutuyim besode b'shur achas. They put 10 trees in one close area, ve'ein ben ilan kimloy nima, and there's no space between the trees. Kol ilan v'ilan roitzel sheyim loich al kul, and each tree wants to be the king. V'linoi Kol lachluach chadama to nourish from all of the moisture. And therefore, whenever that happens, there's a war between the trees, and there's only a limited amount of resources. All the trees die. All of the worlds that came before us, and all of the forms of vegetation that existed in this world before us, did not provide Hashem with satisfaction, and therefore, La'anoish bohem harishayim, and Hashem made them into the worlds of darkness to punish the wicked. Harei shenemar v'achvisa le'svarach. Okay, so shocking chazal. So sachakol we have over here really three memory chazal. First is Reuven and God. They took the land too early in the state of Bahala, therefore they were punished. Second medrash, we're referring to Edom, who conquered the world early in civilization, and they ultimately will lose their hold on this world. And the third medrash is telling us about the creation of the world. There were things that came before us, and they were destroyed because they did not give HaKadosh Baruch Hu satisfaction. Maybe this alludes to the dinosaurs. Maybe the dinosaurs have some degree of intelligence. Hellas that we're not familiar with, and that's what the village is referring to. Because Shmuel brought about their destruction and left it for us. Tosfos Yonah says this. Tosfos Yonah says this, that there are many worlds in this world, and this actual is where you dig down, you find dinosaurs. It refers to things that happened here before the Torah began. What this means exactly, we have no idea. Okay.
You know, we're living with fossil fuel. That's what the dinosaur bones are.
So we're living off their interesting. That's the fossil, because it means fossil fuel.
Fossil fuel means the dinosaur bones.
That's what it means.
That's what oil comes from. That's why it's called fossil fuel.
But it's so deep in the ground.
Yeah, but that's what fracking is doing. But they're doing fracking now also. I mean, that's coming.
Well, you say fossil plants?
Yeah, but also from the bottom. From deep down in the earth. And the reason they're so close to the mistake that they made in I don't know how from, but it's the form in which the people wrote it. But the Malbum actually says also that the reason the dinosaur bones are so close to the ground that you see them, because you know Baruch Bosa Shmai, we have Yisach Rumai Yos Daom. So
pushed it up.
You go. It is just the churning of all the water when the ground opened up. Push them up to the surface. They really should be age-wise way down in the bottom, thousands of feet down, but they rise to the surface.
So,
really, the dinosaur bone that he says dinosaur, the dinosaur, he calls it dinosaur.
Okay, interesting.
It's a couple of pages.
Okay, one last. Okay, one last thing about this. Okay, one last thing. I once read this. It was many, many years ago. I wish I could get a hold of it. I don't know how to get a hold of it. I ever do a search in the database, New York Times database. I remember many years ago, there was an article, I told this to you a few before, in the New York Times, in the magazine section, there was a fantastic article where there was a case study of 10 people. They followed 10 people who won the lottery over 20 years.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That was like probably 20 years ago. What? Every single one of the people. Now, when you win the lottery, they give you a choice. You can take the lump sum, or you can take it over a period of a year. So I think all these people, they decide they can take it over a period of time. And they followed them through, the period was 10 years, 15 years, and they followed them for this period of time, these 10, 20 years, they followed them their life. And at the end, they asked each one of the 10, if you can go back in time, was it a blessing or a curse? Would you undo it? They all said it was a curse. We would have been better off had we not won the lottery. And they all basically said the same thing. Number one is, when you win the lottery, you only get a fraction of $10 million. You don't get $10 million. First of all, you're getting $5 million. Half it goes to tax. And even $5 million, the way is you get a lot less. However, every single one of your relatives, every single one of your acquaintances, they all think in their mind, no matter what you'll tell them, in their mind, you won $50 million. If you win $10 million, you only really won, let's say, $4 million. And in their minds, you won $50 million. Every single relative and person that you know. And therefore, if you have $50 million, you can't give me $100,000. Come on, $100,000 will change my life. I can't give you $100,000. I'm sorry, I can't, because I'd only want $4 million, and my kids took it all anyway. And it's all, whatever it is. And that's one problem. And the enemies, friends, relatives, everyone becomes an enemy very, very quickly. And the second thing is they don't really know how to manage the money. And no matter how many wise chachamim and mevoinim and people that come with them to manage the money, they don't manage it well, and they do stupid things. They do a lot of stupid things with the money, and they make bad investments, and the money is gone, and it ruins their life. Some of them even go into debt because of things that they've done. So that's really what it says in the pasuk. It's really a pasuk. Nachala mivayholas barishayna. A person comes into a state of wealth and a state of bahala. I don't know how to deal with $5 million. I don't know how to deal with this kind of money. It's not good. It's not good for you. It's not good for the people that you know. It's just not a healthy thing. The end is, it's not a blessing. But the article concludes, by the way, is that after you're reading this article, go ask every single person, including myself, ask every single person, do you want to, after you know all this information, do you want to win the lottery now? Yes. Well, do you want to buy a lottery ticket? Of course, I'll be different. I'll be different. And there's loyal to Nakla. This is human nature. There's no one. Everyone's. I don't worry about it. I'll be different. I have.
People have gotten. They say, people. That's why a lot of people don't come forward the first year. They wait till almost the last day. They want to set up themselves so that
they can deal with it.
Themselves will
insulate it themselves.
They come forward and say, I have to take it.
It's a very complicated thing, but it's a pasuk. Shlomo Melech in his time right away knew how to deal nachla mevahelis barishayna, an inheritance that comes to a person for the very first time in a state of the yeshivas come to you, right? A bahala v'achrisa lo yisavarich, it is not going to be a blessing at the end. Okay, now we go to pasuk Chaf Beis. Chaf Beis says, "I'll tell my person should not say ashal mara. I will take revenge. I will take the law into my own hands." We'll see the mitzvahs in a moment. Still not say it, but instead, kavei la Hashem, v'yoshalach, yearn for Hashem, and He will bring you salvation. Let's see mitzvahs chaf beis ashal mara l'mi shepasha negdi l'bal Yosef od l'mi livshabi. A person should not say, "I will take revenge. I will pay him evil. I will do things in order to prevent my enemies from causing me harm. I will take the law into my own hands." A person should not say that, but instead, kavei, ach, instead, kavei al Hashem, v'hu yoshia lach miyad haboim lifshoya bach. Don't take the law into your own hands. Just have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pray to Him, let Him go and redirect your enemies from causing you harm. Okay, there is no Rashi on this pasuk, and I don't have any medrash either. It's an interesting idea that a person should be very careful. Usually, when Hashem takes revenge, it's a lot sweeter than when you take revenge. When you preempt Hashem to take revenge, how much already could you do? Someone insults you, so you want to let him, want to rip at him and let him have it. So what are you going to do? You're going to say a couple of nasty things to him. Keep your mouth shut. And when the person has his downfall, it's a lot sweeter, even though it's not nice, but Hashem's means of punishment are a lot more powerful than whatever person can do.
It's very nice to know that God is on your side if you perceive it that way.
If you perceive it, if you're right.
I showed you that, but that's what Masha says, don't gila benishma.
Yeah.
It should say, in reference to the pasuk, it should say, don't gila benishma chav Yeshua seinu.
Ah, yeah.
That's what it said, kibin lo v'yoshienu, don't gila benishma chav Yeshua seinu.
Okay.
It says Yeshua so, because it's a tremendous feeling you want, because it's far from coming to your aid, because then you feel like God came to my aid. You did it yourself. It's a good feeling, but it's not the same.
Not the same. You want HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You want to see the Yad Hashem. That's really what it's saying here.
Automatically, the puzzle is correct, but that's the message.
Yep. That. Okay, very nice. Very nice. So this is the message. Pasuk of Gimel Tevas Hashem Evin V'Oven. We had this before already a few times. The abomination of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Hashem Evin V'Oven. Umoz Nemirma Lo Tov. It is an abomination to have scales of deceit. It's two different types of stones, a large and a small stone, and scales of these seed lotov, which are not tov, which are incorrect. Let's see the mitzvahs, Evan Mishkol, Gedoyel, Ketanu, two different weighing stones, one large and one small, Mares, Agedoyla. You show people in the store, in the window, the large stone. But when they come to purchase merchandise, you weigh for them with a small stone, you treat them as Shekel, Beketanu. Umozne, Moznaim, Hasum, Liramaspem, Lishkol, Bepachos, Lotov, Bepachos, Kama, Loi toiv be'enei Hashem. According to the parish of the Mitzvahs, Loi toiv is going on Hashem. It's not clear from the actual little translation of the pasuk if Loi toiv refers to the scales. Maybe it means Mosnei Mirma, which are Lo toiv. Are the words Lo toiv coming to modify the Mosnei Mirma, or is Lo toiv an independent statement? According to the Mitzvahs, the words Lo toiv refers to Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Mosnei Mirma, scales of the seed are Lo toiv, are not good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, now let's see Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's go to the next pasuk, Chav Dalet. This is a very important pasuk. Me Hashem mitzadei gover ve'adam mayavin darkos. Mashem comes the footsteps of man, and a person mayavin darko mayavin darko. Rhetorical question: can he really understand his derech? Can he really understand his way? Hashem guides the person. We make this bracha every single day. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Asher Heichin Mitzadei Gover. Some say Hameichin Mitzadei Gover, different girsos, but it basically means the same idea. And seemingly that bracha, Baruch HaShachar, comes from this very pasuk. Pasuk Chavdal Tzirat Mitzudos Chavdal Mehashem Midrichei Chaf Regel Adam. The footsteps of a person who may Hashem come from Hashem. Avol Adam Atzmo. For the person himself, Mayav and Darkoi, what's Lema Lo Yeda Klal Kemo, does not know nothing. Kemo V'Nachnu Ma. Ma here means Ma. Ma here means nothing. Mayav and Darkoi, a person does not understand his way. Like Moshe said, V'Nachnu Ma, we are nothing. We're borrowing the word Ma here in that context. Rashi, there is no Rashi on this pasuk. Now, there are a number of midrashim on this pasuk. And this pasuk that we focus on is punishment. It's a very interesting thing. I don't know why. I don't. There must be some. I don't understand why we connect these two together. The Medrash, the Gemara Masechta Chulin on the Av Zayin. Omar Rabbi Chanina, Ein Adam Noikeif Etzba'o Milamato Elimke Machrizin Alav Milamala. This is a very important principle, the concept of Hashkocha Pratis, something which Goyim have a very hard time dealing with, very difficult time. Hashkocha Pratis, even the smallest insignificant thing that happens in this world is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person bangs his finger into the door, into the wall, even something insignificant as that is a gezeira min Hashem, that he should suffer that punishment. Ela imke machriz nolav in Hashem ha-milamala.
Let's say you're not careless.
Let's assume that you're doing the regular routine. You've done nothing different today than you've done. Yeah, you're right. If you're careless, maybe you're right. There are two things that Chazal acknowledge. Hakol bidei shem chutz mitzinim upachim. Tzinim upachim means the cold and the heat. If you go out in the winter after taking a hot shower and your hair is wet, your body is wet, what do you expect? You're going to get sick. So that is not something you can blame Hashem on. Pachim also, you go out into the desert and it's 120 degrees and you get a sunstroke, what do you expect? That's what it is. And now by extension, anything that is along those lines, when you put your life in danger, you do things that are foolish, you go driving on ice, you do things that are foolish, so what do you expect? But if it's not in that category where you really have done nothing wrong, you've done absolutely nothing wrong, you're going through your routine the same way you've done it the day before, and today you've suffered a loss, you've suffered pain and discomfort, that is a gzera mei Hashem. That's what it says. And it goes on, and how do you know this? El imachriz l'milamala, shenemar mei Hashem mitzadei gover v'ovin mayovin darko. The Gemara Masechta Chulin quotes this pasuk. So the point we're making here is that if you read the pasuk at face value, it has nothing to do with punishment. This lechara has to do with a job. Where do you find yourself a shaduchim? Where do you find yourself in life? Who do you end up marrying? Where do you end up working? For who do you work for? Where do you live? You live in Eritrea, you live in America, you live in Europe, London, where are you living? All these big decisions, people, they look back and they say, how would I marry? How did my life turn out? What kind of children do I have? What kind of job do I have? You look back at the end of your life, it was all meant to be min hashamayim. The big things in life. That's the simple interpretation of this pasuk. But here, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, no, and we're talking over here about the little things in life. And now we're talking about things that are good things. We're talking about things of tsar, of frustration, of tsar, pain, where a person, he injures himself. Then the Gemara gives another example. The Gemara goes a little bit further. The Gemara says here, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Dam Nakuf Neratza. A person pricks his finger and blood comes out. That serves as an atonement for Averis. A person hurts himself and blood comes out, he has Kapara. Kedam Oila, just as if you offered a carbon oila and brought blood on the mizbeach. Then the Gemara says, Amarava, that's only true ela, not so quick. Just because a person who loses blood is a kapara, it has to be painful. How is it painful? It has to be the gudol yamin, your right thumb. Your right thumb bleeds, hurts quite a bit. And it has to be uvinikuf sheni, it's the second time. First, the person bleeds the first time, and then it's healing. And when the wound is healing, the person pricks himself while the wound is healing, that's much more painful. So it's the right thumb, it's while it's healing, blood comes out. That type of tsar is significant. It's as if the person got kapara, he brought a carbon oila. And furthermore, not so simple, it also has to be when he pricks himself when he was going to a dvar mitzvah. But if he was not busying himself with the dvar mitzvah, when this thing happens, then this rule does not apply. Who because of the dvar mitzvah? Period. Okay, so that's what the Medrash says. That is another. That is the basic idea of this Medrash. Okay. Okay, so let's go further. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk chafhei. Mokesh adam yola kodesh vi achar nidorim livaker. Now, what does this mean? This is a hard pasuk. The Mitzudah seems to say, let's read the Mitzudah. The Rashi and Mitzudah seem to be saying the same thing, but they say it in different words. Chafhei in the Mitzudah, Mokesh adam, michshol mokesh. Avera, mashchis kidushas ha adam. Adam, so we basically have to say Adam Yola Kodesh. According to the Mitzudos, what we're doing is we're putting a comma after the word Mokesh. And Mokesh means to stumble, and in this context it means to stumble in sin. If a person is Nichshol in an Avera, any type of Avera, whether it's Gilei Arayos, Shvichas Dam, Avodah Zarah, Lashon Hara, you name it. When a person is nichshol in and out, there is a mokesh, there's a stumbling block, that diminishes the sanctity of a human being. Every person has a kedusha, sanctity. Adam yola kodesh. You have to read it a little bit out of order. Yola means hashchosa. Yola is a fancy word for destruction. The Kodesh of Adam, you have to read the words out of order. Yola Kodesh Adam. I think that's what you have to read it. The Kedushas Adam, the sanctity of a human being that Hashem has bestowed upon man, has been diminished through the Moikesh, through stumbling in sin. And what's the solution? How does a person rebound? How does he do tshuva? The achar nidarim levaker, the only solution is to make vows to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bring korbanos, to promise Hashem you're going to be better, you're going to do tshuva, you're going to repair yourself. Let's see the Mitzudos again. Mokesh michshol, mokesh avera kama. A stumbling block that is of sin, a stumbling block of sin. Mashchis kedushas ha'adam, period, destroys the sanctity of man. V'takonosai, and the solution for this problem is levaker, to seek achar nedarim, the lizboyach laHashem, and offer sacrifices to Hashem. Levake shal nafsho, to beseech Hashem to bring atonement for his neshama. Rashi Kamat says the same thing. Rashi pasuchav hey moikesh adam yolo kodesh kisha adam nichshal v'noikesh ba'averos. When a person stumbles and falls in sin, Mikalkel es kedusha, so it defiles his sanctity. Where do we find the word this concept? Come over shasu v'lahu, they stumble and are destroyed. Bashasu, two words which mean the same thing, they are diminished, they are destroyed, they are destroyed through their sin. Now, according to the Parish of Rashi, it would appear that they're saying the same idea, but according to Rashi it appears that he's taking the word Adam and he's connecting it to Mokesh. So it's the same idea, that Mokesh Adam, when a human being, when an Adam, he stumbles in sin, kama, yola kodesh. He has destroyed, he has diminished his sanctity. Now the trop doesn't fit that way, because the trop, according to our gear, so it really fits better with the parish of the Mitzudos, where the word Adam is connected with Yalakodesh. Adam Yalakodesh. It means the Kedusha of a human being, has been diminished. And Mokesh is a word that stands on its own. Again, but according to Rashi, it does not mean that. According to Rashi, we took the two words together. Mokesh Adam, when a human being stumbles in sin, Yalakodesh, he has diminished his sanctity. And the solution is, next words of Rashi, Yachan Adam Yilvakesh, Sarach Adam Lachzvach HaKorbanos, Lindar, a person has to seek, has to offer Korbanos, Lindar, Lahavi Lavakesh, Anasha, to be Makesh Kapara for his Neshama. Okay, so that's the Pashab Shad. Now there's a very interesting Medrash, and the Medrash here says the word Yola refers to something very specific. Mokesh means, in this interpretation, means to hit a human being. Now there are different ways you can hit someone. You can hit them on the shoulder, you can hit them on the leg, hit them on the hand, or you can give them a smack across the face. And Chazal emphasized this form of hitting, where you hit someone on the face. It says in Chazal that Moshe, he was sotar ponav shel Paro. He gave Paro a smack across the face. When Paro said, Mi Hashem, he gave him a frask. Now when you give someone a smack across the face, are you really hurting them? Are you really, you give someone a punch, you make a black and blue mark, you're really hurting them, you're causing them physical pain. When you smack someone, it appears that you're not really causing them physical pain. You are, I mean, to some degree, but relative to shooting someone on the body, the pain is minimal. We used to watch the television, bang, bang, Batman, pow, right? You hit them on the face, but it's the bizionos. There's no greater bizion than giving someone a smack across the face. And if you do that for a reason that's not appropriate, it's considered as if kaviyachal yola kodesh, you have kaviyachal smacked Hashem, because every human being is created in the tzelem Elokim, in the image of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So by smacking a person, you're being mevaze the tzelem Elokim. If you hit a person in the arm, on the foot, the groin, so you hit a person. That's not called you a mevaze the tzelem Elokim. But when you smack someone, that's much worse. I'll read the words of the Medrash. The Medrash says, "Mokesh Adam Yola Kodesh V'yachan Adam Yivaker Tovay Me'er May a curse come. A klala shall come. L'Adam Shu Oichel Kadoshim." No, I'm reading you the wrong Medrash. I'm sorry. Give me 1 second. I'm reading you the wrong Medrash. Mokesh Adam, here it is. Sanhedrin daf nun ches. Omar Rabbi Chanina hasoiter lo shel Yisrael. Now the reason why we're saying this idea is because the word lo also means the cheek. Okay, in Hebrew, we translated it according to them, this lo means hashchosa, diminishment. Yola Kodesh. There is a diminishment of Kodesh. But the word Yola also means a cheek. It's the same Shurish, Lamed Ayin. So here it means Yola, you have smacked the cheek of the Holy One. Kodesh means a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Has Soiter, Lo Shel Yisrael, Ki Ilu Soiter, Lo O, the cheek Shel Shechina. Shenemar, Moikesh Adam, when a person hits his friend, Yola Kodesh, it's as if you have smacked the cheek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because a person is created in the Tzelem Elokim. That's what this Medrash tells us from these unusual words. Okay, there's another interpretation here, another Medrash, that lo means, oh here it is, Soiter lo shel Yisrael kilu soiter lo shel Shechina. Shenemar mokesh adam liyol hakodesh hanokesh esa adam haynu yisrael shekrin adam d'chsev atem tzoni ad tzon marisi adam atem ki lo yisrael kodesh kesoiter al lo, as if you're smacking the cheek of a kodesh baruch hu. Okay, that's what it's that's the Sanhedrin daf nun ches. That is another gemara, and the gemara says Mokesh means, Yola means to swallow. Yola, another word to swallow. Yola Kodesh, if a person swallows holy matters for reasons that are not correct, he's a Yisroel and he eats Truma. If he's a Zor and he swallows Kodesh, Mokesh Adam. Mokesh means he should be smitten with a curse. He should be cursed for rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll read you the exact words of the Medrash. Tovay me'era, curse should come. La'adam shehu oichel kadoshim bilo'o, who eats kadoshim in his cheek, in his throat. Bilo means in his throat, base biliyasai. Lashon of biliyah, to swallow. Tani Rabbi Chiya, tovay me'era la'adam shehu nene min ha'hegdish ve'ein hegdish ela Yisrael. Kodesh Yisrael Hashem, basic idea of a person that has pleasure from Kodesh should be cursed. Okay, so Sach HaKol, what do we take out of this pasuk? We take out of this pasuk three translations for the word Yola. Number one, Yola means to diminish, Hashchosa, to diminish. A person who stumbles in sin has diminished the Kedusha that Hashem has given him as a member of Klal Yisrael. The second interpretation, we take the word Yola and we connect it to the word cheek. Cheek in this context, it means that Mokesh Adam, a person hits his fellow man, it's as if, what kind of hit are we discussing? We're talking over here when you give him a smack across the face. Yola Kodesh, it's as if he hit the cheek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yiming mevazet et tselem Elokim. And the third interpretation is Yola comes from the word belia, to swallow, and the pasuk is telling us about a curse. Mokesh Adam, cursed be the person, Yola Kodesh, who swallows holy matters for the shaloi kahalacha when he's not permitted to do so. Okay, then when the pasuk includes the achan adam yivak, that was the solution. But the Medrash also says another interpretation that we all know that it's not proper to make nedarim. Chazal do not have a favorable attitude towards people who make vows. Tov asher lo tidar, meshi tidar velo seshalem. Chazal always say, don't get in the habit of making promises because you never know if you can keep your promises. And that's exactly what it says here, v'achar, according to the Medrash, v'achar nidarim yilevaker. A person who makes vows, he's a noder. After such a person, there will be inspection, levaker. In Shemayim, they're going to look into his ways, into his deeds, to see if this person is deserving of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's bracha. Because when a person makes vows, he's setting himself up for trouble. Don't make vows. Achar, a person who makes too many vows, levaker, he is subject to a Kodesh Baruch Hu's inspection. The word levaker comes from bikoires tihiyah. There shall be an inspection. Okay. Let's now go to
something that a person stumbles because he speaks too quickly.
Ah, so he's saying what Yola means to speak, a fourth translation. Yola,
I don't know if it means to speak or maybe it's the cheek. The
it means it means the cheek and what comes out of the throat, the gara. So a person stumbles because Yola, so then if it's very well,
and
the Dorim.
The Dorim Levaker is a repeat of that.
Something right, right.
Levaker after the Dorim is also a bad sign.
After a person who makes too many Dorim Levaker, he's in trouble. They're going to make inspect, they're going to evaluate
it's
him.
But it's a similar concept.
Okay, so it's very good. So the fourth translation, Yola in this context means to speak.
When you promise an appeal, you promise so that money became hegdish. And then you spent it.
So you're in trouble. You're a moikesh. Persons, Yola Kodesh, he speaks holy matters, makes promises. He makes promises to do things that are holy, pledges. Yola Kodesh means he's making pledges.
When you make a vow, you're not making on a specific reading.
But you made a holy vow. When you make a vow, you're promising something holy. And then
when you're in shul, and you say, I pledge $180 for whatever.
Right? You don't pay.
But there's nothing, there's no actual money.
Doesn't matter. You're setting yourself up by making that vow. You're putting yourself in a situation where there's a complaint. In Shemayim, you promised something. Why have not you not been true to your word?
Also, isn't that in general?
Yeah, that's exactly what it says.
And maybe that's why doing too many the Durham, you
can't keep up.
Right,
that's what we said. That's exactly what we said. After Nidorim, a person who makes vows, after the Levaker, Shemayim, Levaker, they are inspecting.
This great guy who's doing all the Nidorim. Let's check him out.
Let's check the books. Exactly. Let's have a visit. Levaker is a visit to see if he's really true to his words. It's a very interesting term. It's a fourth translation. Yola means to speak holy words, to make holy promises. You don't practice what you preach. You preach holy matters and you don't keep up with these holy matters, so that is a moikesh, that is a stumbling for the person. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chavav, Mizareh Rishon Melech Chacham Vayoshav Aleihem Oifon. You have to read these words backwards. A melech chacham, a wise man, a wise king, is mizareh risham. He disperses the wicked people, and he brings upon them the wheel of fortune. He spins the wheel. He gives them what they deserve. Now there are two different techniques. First of all, the pasuk is telling us that a wise king, a politician, you don't just say you're fired. You don't say to your chief of staff, you know, you're not doing a good job. You're fired. You say to him, I'm reassigning you. I'm going to make you the ambassador to some third world country, to Uganda. I'm sending you to Uganda to be the United States ambassador. What's doing in Uganda? Nothing. Nothing. You can't do there any harm, but I'm not doing anything. I need a good man. I need a good man down there. So instead of saying you're fired and you make yourself a political enemy for the rest of your life, I'm giving you a promotion. An ambassador, you get a promotion, you get benefits, take your family on vacation, you get a double salary, and it's a more chashuva position. But the truth is, what are you really doing? You're being mizareh, you are dispersing. You are dispersing your enemies.
That's called kicking upstairs.
Kicking upstairs. In yeshiva, they say, when they give you a cover, they put you in the mizrachvat. Everyone who gets fired in the yeshiva, what do? We mechabed you. We want you to sit in koilel now, and you'll sit in the mizrachvat. We're taking you out of the classroom. We'll bring you to the Beis Medrash to sit at the mizrachvat. What have they really done? Be fired. But we want to make nice. Shouldn't be so we'll push you to the front. Hey, that's one of them. Another limitation is just don't make sure that your enemies, if you have a lot of enemies, make sure you never allow them to come together in the same room. Always manipulate your enemies that they're not together. Sometimes you can't eliminate your enemies, but if you can be clever enough that it'll never come to a vote. You mizareh, or at least many Rabbanim say this, is that the survival to Rabbanis says, Rabbanis, you always have enemies. But Rabbanis, the enemies, they don't always last forever. Today, it was my enemy today, last year was my best friend. And who's my best friend today, next year can be my enemy. The goal is that the enemies, that they shouldn't all be at the same time. That at the time when this one is my enemy, at least this one's my friend. And when this one becomes my enemy, the other one becomes my friend. So you don't have all of them stacked against you at the same time where they can vote you out. You have to be able to be mizoreh, disperse the enemies. They don't shouldn't come together at the same time in order to survive. This is the koyach, the reason of a melech chacham. Vayoshelim oifen. Oifen over here means the wheel of fortune. They give them mida kineged mida. If this is what you have done to me, I will do to you this. I will do to you in kind. I will bring about punishment to you, mida kineged me, like a wheel of fortune. As it turns, Gilgal hachoyzer ba'olam. Let's see the mitzudos pasuk chavav mizarez to disperse melachacham darko lefazer es harasham. He disperses enemies laval you b'chabur achas. They should not be in one group. Lahamtik atzas resha, because if they would be in one group, they would counsel, they would deepen their
wishes.
their wickedness, their evil plan, their conspiracy against the king. Lahamtik atzas resha umeishav lochem gemul. And mida b'mida, and then what else does the Melech Chacham do? He punishes his enemies, mida kineged mida, to oifan ham hamiskalgal, like a wheel that turns. For shavlu b'kamo, kain yashav agmul elamasa leman yisuru. He punishes them exactly, mida kineged mida, in order that they should desist, they should not do harm to him. Okay, let's go over here in the midst of the Rashi. Rashi says, come on, the same thing, Mazar Rishon, who referring to? Referring to Paro v'chelo. Paro and his servants were dispersed. Paro v'chelo, Melech Chacham HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here is the Melech Chacham, according to the Medrash. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yoshav aleihem goifan, gilgil midoisam heshev aleihem. Hashem spun their midah upon them. Vayinahagil bichvedus kineged v'hachbed es libo. Rashi just gives one example. Vayinahagil bichvedus. Hashem, he had them travel in a state of heaviness. Midah kineged midah. Vayichabed hichbed es libo. He hardened his heart. Okay, now the midrashim are a little more elaborate. I'll read over here. Let's see over here. What it says here by Paro. Paro, it says, "Vayos oifan markivoysav." All right, let's do with that. Right? Basically, is kibad dover hasher zodu alehem. This week's parsha, the beginning of this week's parsha, Yisrael. Why did Yisrael join Klal Yisrael? Vayichad Yisrael al kol had. Vayichad Yisrael al kol.
Al kol atovu hasher asa Hashem l'Paro.
Ule Mitzrayim.
Alo dos Yisrael.
Alo.
Til Hashem.
So what it says there in one of the pesukim in the sixth parasha, it says kivadovar asher kivadovar asher zodu aleihem nida kineged nida. Paro was going to call abein hayilod hayoret hashli chuv cholabaste chayon nida kineged nida. They were drowned in the yam. This was something which Yisro was very fond of, to see the poel HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes Nida Kineged Nida is what inspired Yisrael to join Klal Yisrael.
They make on that pasuk, they bring down the mizmor from David HaMelech, how was the shepherd of Goyim.
They,
has the only
the Goyim know.
Moshe himself didn't know the Nida Kineged Nida because he wasn't in on all the things. Yisrael was part of Paro's advisory board.
So he had a full appreciation
what the Nida Kineged Nida was.
Right.
Explain to what happened.
So only this is something which they know what they tried to do to us, and they themselves only can fully see the Midah Kineged, because we don't know all the secrets. They know all the secrets. So this is the most important principle of punishment and reward in this world. It's Midah Kineged Midah, and that's exactly what it says here in this pasuk. This pasuk says, "Vayoshav alehem oifan." Hashem turned the wheel. What you tried to do to someone else will boomerang, will be turned back against you exactly as what you planned to do. Midah Kineged Midah, and thus the Melech Chacham here refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the Melech Chacham, and Hashem is the one that is also Mizareh Rishoim. And we learn from Yisrael exactly this point, Kiv Adavar Shazalim. He appreciated the Midah Kineged Midah, and again in Kriyas Yamsov, I don't know all the Midrashim, but there are many Midrashim which show that it happened in Kriyas Yamsov. Everything that happened in Kriyas Yamsov was all pure Midah Kineged Midah. Okay, there's another Medrash. The Medrash says that we're referring over here to Yosef. Yosef, the subject of this pasuk is Yosef. Yosef here is the Melech Chacham, a Novoin v'Chacham Kamocha. Picho Yishach Kol Ami. And what did Yosef do? Yosef was Mizareh Rishoyim. When they did not have food, he relocated population. What is it called?
Ethnic cleansing.
Not ethnic cleansing. Population. I mean, all the kings did this. Migration. What? No, relocation. They relocate populations. The way you keep your enemies, quiet, is you relocate them to different parts of the world. This was the Kayach of Melech Asher. Asher conquered the entire world. And how does he keep everyone behave themselves? You're leaving. I'm taking you to another country. When you go to another country, it'll take you decades, centuries to adjust to your new environment. You'll be busy adjusting to the new environment. You won't have time to make trouble. trouble for me. When you're busy with your own problems, you don't have time to make trouble for someone else. So that's why he relocated every single country that he conquered, he relocated, including Klal Yisrael. He took the Aseres HaShvat, we didn't kill them. He relocated them. He took them to Ashur. He took them to another country. And who did he put in Ashur? He put in Eretz, he put the Kushim. The Kushim, we relocated from Kush to Eretz Yisrael. So who was the one that invented this concept of relocating people in order to make trouble? It was Yosef. When Yosef wanted, they did not have food, he relocated and they sold themselves as slaves to Yosef in order to have what to eat during the years of famine. Yosef relocated every citizen in Egypt. And Yosef did this with a kavana because he knew that Klal Yisrael would suffer sum golus, gzeir of Bris Ben Absarim, and he wanted to lessen the shibud. They should not go say to the Jewish people, you're strangers in this land, you don't belong in, because every single member of Egypt was also a stranger in their hometown. They might not have been a stranger in a different country, but they were a stranger to their community. Everyone was relocated to a different part of Egypt, so no one felt at home. So therefore, when they looked at the Jews, they sympathized. They had empathy, because they also, we relate to you, that we're not in our home. So that is the koyach, the Melech Chacham is Yosef, and he was Mizorer Rishoim. He relocated every single one of the evil Egyptians in order that they would not subjugate the Jewish people more than they should years later. Now, what is it going to be the oifan? The oifan, he doesn't explain here what that, but he just refers to the mezare. Okay, that's at least we have over here our interpretation for the first part of the pasuk. Okay, now we come to a very, very famous pasuk. Pasuk of Zayin, Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, Choyfeis, it searches kol chadrei vaten. The Ner of Hashem is the neshama of a human being, and this neshama searches all of the chambers of the womb, meaning the innermost secrets of a human being. Now, this seems to indicate. Let's see first the Mesudas. Ner Hashem, kmo shederech adam lechapes bechoshech ayde haner. Just like a person, he searches in darkness through a fleshly ner. Kain so tu choyfes Hashem searches Hashem kol machshavos charivoten, all of a person's inner thoughts. Al yedei nishmas ha'adam ki hi yoidas hakol, the neshama knows everything, umi'ida olav bedin, and the neshama testifies concerning man at bedin. So now what this seems to mean, according to the parish of the Metzudas, is that the neshama appears to be something that's outside of the person himself. I don't think the average person looks at it like that. When you talk about a person, what am I? Define yourself. Myself, what am I? I'm a neshama trapped in a guf. The neshama is trapped in the guf, and ultimately no one lives forever. The neshama will separate from the guf, and I, who is the true self is the neshama. The guf is going to wither, going to decay, turn into dust, but the true self, the neshama, will return to Shemayim, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's just part A and part B. There's the neshama and the guf. I mean, that's how the average person understands, relates to himself. Even a child understands this concept. But the puzzle doesn't seem to say, the puzzle seems to say there's something else. There is the soul, that's your true self, and the neshama basically is like an inspector. It's the black box, but it's not really part of me. That's really what it's. I mean, obviously, we don't really know what these things mean. But reading this mitzvah, there's me. What am I? Well, there's the guf, and there's the spiritual part, and there is the physical part, whether that's trapped. And there's an inspector. Okay, the black box. Fine, the black box. There's an inspector. What, a reporter? A recorder. There's a recorder. The recorder is the neshama, and it's like a candle in a dark room that's looking, uncovering all of the darkest secrets about a person, all the machshavas, and all these dark secrets are being recorded, and it's going to be presented to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a file. That so and so, that I, the person, do all of these things. So we're breaking up the neshama into a different entity. We know there are five parts in the neshama. I don't remember what we are. There is the ruach, the nefesh, yechida, neshama, and what's the fourth one or the fifth one? Something called yechida, ruach, nefesh, neshama. I'm missing one, and there's two more I'm missing. I don't know what they are. Oh, no, there's only five. There's one more. I don't know what it is, but there are different parts, and that's seemingly what the Mitsudo says. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Kiner Hashem Nishma Sadam, HaNeshama Shebekibay Mi'ido La Badin. The neshama that's inside a person testifies Badin. Okay, so maybe it means it's really the same thing. Just the person confesses his own guilt later point in time. Okay, there are a number of very famous midrashim. The most popular midrash is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there are two neros. There is my ner and there is your ner. What's my ner? Torah is called a ner. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah are. And then there's another ner. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Hashem says to me, let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. You watch my ner, I'll watch your ner. If you observe my Torah, ki ner mitzvah v'torah are, you keep your part of the deal, I'll keep my part of the deal. I will guard your neshama, ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. That by far is the most popular medrash that is associated with this pasuk. I'll read the exact words. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to men, La'adam yehi neri b'yadcha v'nercha b'yadi v'ezo hu ner shal Kadosh Baruch Hu zotar shnema ki ner mitzvah v'tar ar ma'u ki ner mitzvah elo kol mi sh'oise mitzvah sukil ma'alag nelof HaKadosh Baruch Hu m'chay nafsh shkar ner. That wasn't exactly what I was referring to. Here's what I was referring to. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu l'adam nercha b'yadi v'neri b'yadcha. Your ner is in my hands and my ner is in your hands. Shenemar Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, Ner Biyadcha, Lahalos Ner Tamid, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, if you'll watch my Ner, I'll watch your Ner. That's going to be part of the deal. Okay, now, okay, I wanted to say something, I remember. Oh, here's a Gemara, interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, "Shaul shelo zu leila me Rabbi Tamchum de Minoy." The following question was asked in the presence of Rabbi Tamchum de Minoy. Mahu lechabois boitzina de noira mikame bi isha b'shabata. We have a chayla she'ein by sakana, chayla she'esh by sakana. Let's say chayla she'esh by sakana, and he needs and the light is causing him to die. He's very sensitive, and he has to sleep. And if he's not going to get a good night's sleep, he's going to die. So the shaila is, are we allowed to turn off the lights? Are you allowed to turn off the lights on Shabbos in order to allow this individual to get a good night's sleep so he can recover? So he asked him, What? Yeah. Right, that's a good Gemara. That's a Gemara with Shabbos Taflamit and Sama Malikim. The Shaila was Shaul Shel Zulam Leil in the presence the Merbi Tanchum the Minoy. Mahu Lechabois Beitzina the Nora Mikam Mebish. Are we allowed to extinguish a fire in the presence of a sick person b'Shabbata? So the answer was Ner Kriya Ner. A Ner is called a candle. Is called a candle. And a neshama is called a candle. Ki ner Hashem nishmas Adam. Our pasuk. So he paskin mutav tich ben ner shel basar v'dam mibnei neiroi shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Better a ner of basar v'dam should be pushed away before the ner of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The neshama is the ner Hashem. Ner Hashem nishmas Adam. A candle of oil and a wick and a receptacle is a ner of an Adam, of a human being. So which of the two neros has more chashivas? When push comes to shove and only one can survive, do we keep the ner? Now, of course, he's giving over here more a homiletical answer to a halachic shayla. Have a halachic shayla, it's very strange gemara. You're giving up, have a halachic shayla, and you're answering the halacha with agada, divrei agada. Two different types of neros: the spiritual ner and the physical ner. The ner shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the ner shel Adam. Which one asks kedima when there's not enough space for both to operate together in the same world? Of course, the ner of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes first. So therefore, we're allowed to extinguish the ner shel Adam, a candle made from wick and oil, in order that the Ner Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu can continue to provide illumination, and meaning that the person should continue to live. It's a cute little Haggadah to answer a halachic shayla. Of course, the Haggadah never ends halachic shaylas. The halach is always Ein Davar Oymi B'mnei B'Kuach Nefesh. The Torah says, "Meferish v'chai bohem." You only do mitzvahs in order to live, and if doing a mitzvah is going to cause you to die, you don't have to do the mitzvah. That's the halachic reason why you're allowed to put out the candle in order the person should get a good night's sleep and recover from his illness. But here the Gemara embellishes the halachic reason with Divrei Haggadah. It's a beautiful Haggadah. Two different types of neros. The ner shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ner shel Adam. Better the ner shel Adam be extinguished so that the ner shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to provide light. Okay, we'll stop over here for today.